Good morning. Happy Mother's Day again to you ladies. Today I want to talk about a virtuous woman, and this will apply to all people, men and women. But since it's Mother's Day, I want to talk about a mother who showed virtue in the Scriptures. Proverbs 31, verse 10 says, "An excellent wife who can find." And I've preached that text a few times. And years ago, when Doug Cage was a pastor here, he preached that text. And when he said, "An excellent wife who can find," I said a very robust amen. And the next thing I said was, "Ugh!" Because my mom was on my left, my wife was on my right, and I got simultaneously elbowed in the ribs. Knocked the wind out of me. And then I got the look. And you women got a look that can burn through steel. And I had it coming from both sides. I had nowhere to hide. I remember just slinking down in the pew of mom going, "You behave." Yeah, I sure miss her. This morning, as I said, I want to talk about a virtuous woman. I don't do this text. I had another point. I listened to a minister one time, and he said he had women telling him, "We don't like that text. It sets the standards too high. No woman can live up to everything that was said in here." But you got to remember, that was a king's mother talking to her son about the right kind of wife, and moms are going to nitpick. You know, you're not going to find a perfect woman in mom's eyes. But virtue is something that we as Christians should all possess. And today I want to talk about a virtuous woman. The text is out of 1 Samuel verses 9 through 11. And it reads, "After they had eaten and drunk in Shiloh, Hannah arose. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat beside the doorpost of the temple of the Lord. She was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. And she vowed a vow and said, 'O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your servant and remember me and not forget your servant, but will give to your servant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall touch his head.'" Father, I thank you this morning for godly mothers. I thank you for godly people also in general, Lord. And I just pray that as we look at this text, that we will be encouraged, men and women, mothers or not, we will be encouraged to be people of virtue, because we represent you to people on this earth. And we should not do things that go against your character. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. "There was a man from Ramah, and he was an Ephraimite named Elkanah. He had two wives. The name of one was Peninnah. The name of the other was Hannah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had none. Every year, Elkanah and his family would travel to Shiloh." That's where the tabernacle was set up at that time, the tabernacle that Moses had built. "And they offer sacrifices to God. They would offer sacrifices and worship. That was the whole idea of this. And Elkanah would give portions to his first wife and children, but he would give Hannah a double portion because he loved her and the Lord had closed her womb." The scriptures say that Peninnah was Hannah's rival, and that she would, in my words, she would rag on her every year because Hannah didn't have children. And if you understand, in this culture, that was a woman's sole purpose in life, was to marry and have children, to raise a family. And when a woman was barren, some looked at it as a curse from God, that God was withholding children for some reason or another. They all agreed it was a God thing. But the way people are, they can be pretty mean-spirited. And I think this Peninnah was especially doing this because she knew Elkanah loved Hannah more than he loved her. And the attitude I read she had, I can understand why. And she dogged her. It said she drove her, she irritated her to a point that she would weep and would not eat. And Elkanah tried to talk to her and said, "Look, I'm better than 10 sons to you." But Hannah wanted a child. Understandable. She wanted that reproach removed from her. And every year. They said they went to the temple every year and made sacrifices. There were different sacrifices that was made, and this one was what was known as a fellowship offering. And you offered your sin offerings in that, and then you offered a fellowship offering. The priest got some of it, and you and your family got the rest of it, and you sat down, and it was kind of like having a picnic with God. It's the only way I can explain it. It was a thanksgiving offering, thanking God for the year that you'd had, and for the crops, and for, you know, your herd doing fine, and you're prospering, and there was a way of thanking God for prospering. It was a time of celebration. But Peninnah would ride Hannah about, you're getting double because you can't have kids, things like that. And I think there was some rivalry, some jealousy there, and that's why I've never agreed with having more than one wife. I can't understand how any man would want that, but I mean, when you see that in the scriptures, there's always a rivalry going on between the women. And sometimes they might gang up on the husband, and then he's going to be most miserable of all men. I'm just teasing you, ladies. Somebody might want to go out and warm my car up for me. I might have to leave before this is over. All right. Anyway, every year, and we don't know how many years this went on, every year Hannah would pray for a child. Every year. And this occasion, when they got done eating, they had finished her meal, she went to the temple, and Eli, the high priest, was sitting in a chair at the door of this tabernacle, and Hannah was praying, and it said she was weeping and pouring her heart out to God, and her lips were moving, but nothing was coming out. Well, Eli looked at her and thought she was drunk. And he rebuked her and he said, how long are you going to come here drunk? Put your wine away. Well, she wasn't drunk. The scriptures say that Hannah said to him, I'm not that kind of a woman, my Lord. I'm not drunk. But she said, I'm very bitter in spirit. She shared with him what she was praying about. Well, that changed Eli's attitude towards this woman. And he said to her, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition that you have made to him. And she said, let your servant find favor in your eyes. Then the woman went away and ate, and her face was no longer sad. That tells me she had some faith. You understand, in this time, in this dispensation, the priest represented you to God, and they represented God to you. So when the high priest blessed her in the name of the Lord, Hannah had hope. Like I said, I don't know how long she'd been praying, but there was a spark of hope came up in her because the priest told her God was going to bless her. Well, it says when they finished worshiping and went home, she got pregnant. So God opened her womb. He blessed her. He gave her a child. And Hannah had made a promise to God about this boy. She said, if you will give me a son, I'm going to give him back to you. And she said, no razor will touch his head. In the law of Moses, God provided that a man or a woman could make what was called the Nazirite vow. And in that vow, you did not cut your hair, you could not eat grapes or anything from a grape, you were not allowed to drink wine, and of course, you couldn't touch anything unclean. And while you were under this vow, you were considered holy. It was a vow of consecration. Men and women could make it and say, I'm dedicating myself to the Lord for this purpose or that. Well, Hannah made that dedication to her son. And her husband was a godly man. And under the law of Moses, God made a clause in that. And he said, now if the husband or a brother, a male in the family, if he hears that, and he doesn't agree with that, he can annul it immediately, and she won't be guilty. So Elkanah, she told Elkanah what she had done, and he said, you do what seems right to you. She stayed home for 2 years and weaned the child. She named him Samuel, and Samuel in the Hebrew means heard of God. So she honored God with that name. God heard me. She recognized that this child was a gift from the Lord. Children are gifts from the Lord, church. That's one thing I hate about abortion. How many Beethovens and Mozarts and maybe Einsteins have been murdered in this country since Roe versus Wade? They are gifts from God. Now, I understand when they get to adolescence age, they seem like a gag gift sometimes, but they're still a gift from the Lord. But that's part of the challenge of parenting, is getting them through that, taking them through that. Hannah was a godly woman. Instead of being bitter and accusatory towards God because she didn't have children, instead of whining and complaining and maligning him, she sought him. Jesus said, keep asking, keep seeking. She kept asking and kept seeking. And God said, okay. She was a woman of integrity because she did not renege on that fact. I wonder how many people will do that today. How many times have you and I said things to God, oh God, if you'll just do this, I will do this, and he does it and we don't. Well, God will understand. You know, I was in desperate times, and he knows I can't keep a promise like that. The Bible says it's better not to make a promise to the Lord than to make one and break it. And this woman, she had wanted a child for years, and God gave her a child, but she honored her word. She was a woman of integrity. She kept the boy for 2 years, weaned him, and then it says she took him to Shiloh and handed him over to Eli. And she said, I don't know if you remember me, but I'm the one that was here praying. And you told me God would grant my petition. She said, he did. And she said, here's the boy. So she gave him to Eli to train him in the priestly duties. You remember, she consecrated him to God, and she wasn't just talk. She gave him to the high priest and said, you raise him and you train him in godly service. Now, he was from Ephraim, the tribe of Ephraim. He wasn't a Levite, but she gave him to the Lord as a priest, and God honored that. And it said every year she would make him a robe when her and her husband would go to visit. And I believe the robe she made was like the robes that the priest wore when they ministered in the temple and served God. And I believe, this is conjecture, you know, this is my opinion, I think whenever they visited, they visited for a while. They hadn't seen each other in a year. And I believe mom told him, now I dedicate you to the Lord. You are God's son. And you serve the Lord. As a priest, Samuel would have been obligated to serve the Lord and to serve the people of Israel. That was a priest's job. And the prophets, when the people were backslidden, very often when you read, God starts with the prophets, the elders, and the priest, when the people backslid. He rebuked them first. He said, you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. You're misrepresenting me. So she's probably telling her boy, I gave you to the Lord. You are holy. You are in God's service, and you need to serve the Lord. So this woman of integrity, even though her heart may have ached because she didn't have her kid at home, she kept her word to God. Eli, it says one time when they were there, her Elkanah and Hannah and his family, that Eli said to Elkanah, may God bless you with more children from this woman because she kept her word. That's a pretty good blessing. It doesn't say how quick it happened, but it said Hannah went on to bear 3 sons and 2 daughters. You can't outgive God. Yeah. Hannah kept her word to the Lord. Hannah called out to the Lord. Hannah believed the Lord, and then she kept her promise to the Lord. As I said, Eli blessed them and said, may God give you more children, and God gave her more children. Now, if you're familiar with the story of Samuel, you know what happened. He was a godly man. He was a man of integrity. He became the first judge in Israel. He traveled a circuit and sat in courts and judge matters out of the law between the people, and he became one of the greatest prophets Israel ever knew. The Bible says God did not let any of his words fall to the ground. Now that's something. If Samuel said it, it happened. It wasn't this name it and claim it theology that these New Age gurus try to preach to you today. It's because she honored God, Samuel honored God and God honored Samuel. All because of one woman's gift. Selfless gift. She could have had that boy and said, "No way, now wait a minute, now this is mine. I was desperate and I've been wanting this kid and I can't give him up, Lord." But she didn't do that. She said, "Samuel, the Lord heard me. You came from the Lord. Now I'm giving you back to the Lord." Moms, give your kids to God. I'm not saying throw them out of the house and bring them to church. We don't want all of them here all the time. But what am I saying? Give them to God. Trust God. You know the problems we have raising children, mom and dad alike, the smartest thing you can do is pray and say, "God, I'm handing this over to you." Because God can touch people where you can't. Yeah. It ought to be our objective as parents and grandparents that our kids serve the Lord. That's mine. That's what I pray for my children and grandchildren, that God's going to use them in His service. Yeah. That it, before I die, if I could see the ones that I got now in the Lord's service, I could die a happy man. If I see my children serving the Lord, I'm going to be a happy man. Virtue is something that we all need. We need to be people of integrity as Christians. We need to be people of our word. We need to be godly people, uncompromisingly godly. Don't act one way here and then one way at work. It's easy to do. We're the only Bible some people will ever read, church. And there may be people wondering about what it means to be a Christian, and they won't come to church, but if they know you're a Christian, they're going to watch you. They're going to listen to what you say. All glory and honor belongs to God. Not to me, not to you. It belongs to God. And Jesus told us, if you love your family more than me, you're not worthy of me. You can't follow me. Yeah. I'm not saying every child is going to be a missionary or a minister or going to do this or that. I'm just saying that we need to trust God with our children. When He gives them to us, say, "Lord, these are your kids. You've lent them to me. They're a gift, and I want to return that to you." I didn't do that. My first 15 years of Christianity, I didn't take it serious. I was not always a godly father. I was more concerned with trying to earn a living and what about me, what do I want, and I regret it to this very day. I can't change that. But one thing I've been praying is that while I still have breath in my lungs, that God will grant me the opportunity to try to make some of that right with my kids. I want them to look at me and see a godly man, a man of integrity. It's not too late. No. It's not too late for any of you. You may be sitting here, especially women, thinking of things you should have done and could have done. You didn't. Well, that's in the past. You can't get it back. But what you can do is commit your future to the Lord. Commit those children to the Lord and saying, "I'm not giving up." The enemy will tell you it's too late. He's a liar. It's never too late for the Lord. We need to start praying for our kids and our grandkids and nieces and nephews and kids that we're all familiar with, that we're friends with. We need to really begin to pray for them and say, "God, open their hearts. Let them know you and Jesus Christ whom you have sent." And then live before them, children, in a way that they don't think that God's a big hypocrite, because we are. I want this to be a message of encouragement. And this is not an impossibility. As I said, those women, that one minister said, those women said, nobody can live up to that text in Proverbs, don't preach it. Well, I'm saying that God calls us to a higher calling. And Paul said we're to strive to reach for those things that He's called us to do. He doesn't say it happens overnight. He doesn't say you're going to be sinless, perfect. But He's saying you strive to get a hold of those things that God has for you. God bless you. I hope you have a great day. I hope your children will honor you on this day. We have roses in the back, and I've been told that all the mothers are welcome to take a rose with them when they leave. Would you stand with me, please? What Hannah did may have been unique, but it doesn't mean that only Hannah could do it. That's the point. She chose to be a virtuous woman and to honor God. And ladies, that's what you have to do as mothers. Honor God first. Your kids aren't first. God's first. And then your kids. Yeah.